I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Oculus. Oculus is a 2013 American supernatural psychological horror film co-written, edited, and directed by Mike Flanagan. It follows adult siblings Kaylee and Tim, who, haunted by the violent deaths of their parents 10 years earlier, suspect that their antique mirror is behind the tragedy and contains a malevolent supernatural entity that infects the minds of anyone who gazes into it, an entity they now plan to kill. Tom, do you want to start us off with your fact that you found out during this movie?
Oh, yeah, so I found this out watching reading the trivia of this movie because, boys, I'm not going to lie, there were points in this movie where I was a little frightened.
Yep.
And sought refuge elsewhere, as is allowed.
Yep. In the warm, as comforting embrace of IMDb.
Oh, my happy place. Now, I fired up the detective center.
The database?
What are you fucking laughing at?
Just the detective center.
Yeah, I've got a lot of detectives.
The IMDb detective center for excellence. Just got all these little new recruits in there.
Yeah, so fired that up, just scrolling through the trivia and learned that it is based on a short film called Oculus, The Man with the Plan.
That's incredible.
That's huge for us.
That is about as big as it gets.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking funny.
Obviously, we've been calling the Flan Man, the man with the plan, for, I don't know, since Hill House, I guess, not knowing that
he'd given
himself that name almost before we had.
He's not in Oculus.
No, that's true. That's true.
It is a 6-minute short film. I imagine it's largely the sort of Karen Gillan section.
Yeah, I looked it up.
It's
the main character is Tim, which is almost the secondary character in this one. Equal billing, yeah. Probably. But yeah, in the short film, it's pretty much just him with the cameras and all that sort of stuff. Single person, single camera, and it's actually called Chapter 3: The Man with the Plan. And so him and I can't remember who else he was creating it with. They actually had a plan for 6 different stories, all involving the same. What's the name of the mirror in this one?
Oh, the lesser glass.
The lesser glass. Yeah, there's going to be 6 parts of it. But basically, they made this one first, even though it was Chapter 3, because the budget was so much smaller, because a single person, single camera, and made it. And it obviously did pretty well for a short film, but never ended up making the other 5 parts that it was going to have.
Well, I guess then that's the background of it, that when she's going through all the other instances. I imagine that's the other 6 parts.
Oh, that's a good call. Yes, yeah.
I would like to say fuck you to Karen.
Yeah.
Maybe the dumbest.
I think
maybe the dumbest. Yes. Silence, Tom. Maybe the dumbest character we have encountered.
I can't abide this hate for her.
I must agree with Sean.
I think she gives it a crack. I think she comes in.
Yeah, she gives it a crack.
That's the problem.
The crack that she's giving is shrouded in stupidity.
Because she doesn't even give it a crack. The mirror does not take one hit.
It takes one.
Previous to.
Yeah, it's I think the thing is,
she didn't do it. Her brother did.
Yeah.
Look, she's
or her dad's head, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever it was.
I'd say it's the bullet part.
It's probably the bullet, yeah.
Look, I think we've got to give her a bit of credit.
Why?
She tries her best.
No.
She under
That's not enough.
Let's save this for our second question.
Yeah.
I'm Team Karen and you're a dog.
I'm not a dog, you're a fucking idiot.
I mean, we know that. There's like, how many episodes of this show have we done? There's so many episodes that prove that.
Yeah. Well, I am a dog. Dogs are loyal. They're good boys. That's why some sections of my family call me Canine Carney.
Because you're a good boy.
Because I'm a dog. I'm a good boy.
I think it is. I think it's dog and then a four-letter word that also starts with C that comes after that.
That's my other brother. That's not even a joke. That's true.
Yeah. So initial thoughts for this one. Obviously, yeah. Kano, you chose this one.
I did, because we fear and respect. We love the Flan Man.
Yeah.
I think we all have this shared vibe, though, of like the early Flan Man stuff we haven't seen. We're a bit worried about it.
Feels a little more dangerous.
Feels like maybe hasn't found the heart really yet. And it's got heartfelt moments in it. But there's a real danger to it. Because the Flan Man stuff we watch now, I think the balance is way more in the heart than it is in the horror.
Agreed.
He still does the jump scares. He still does the unsettling spooks and all of that. But back, I think, the earlier stuff of his we've watched, including this one, fuck me. Tries to scare the dick off you.
Yes. Yeah, he's going hard on the scares. He's going slightly harder on the misery element, I would say. Like, even Oculus.
It's bleak.
It's bleak. It's a tragedy, ultimately. This one, also a tragedy. Like, and then even Hush, I think, from memory.
Nah, she survives.
She survives, does she? Okay, but she takes quite a few hits.
It's bloody grim, though.
Hush is final girl territory, so she has to live.
Right.
But Ouija, Oculus, they're the two that we've seen of early.
Yeah, I would say Dr. Sleep is when he really finds that beautiful combo of horror and heart.
Absolutely.
And obviously,
Haunting of Hill House is where he found it. And then Dr. Sleep is the cinematic sort of refinement of it. One thing, so this is early Flan. I didn't expect him to be so on top of filmmaking craft.
His tools are all on display.
Yeah, they really are. Like some of the, like from the outset, the camera movements, the sort of the thought that goes into the way they're going to frame shots and stuff is really incredible.
There's a great shot really early on.
It's when she's talking to her brother at the cafe or whatever, and the camera shifts. So she's the rational one who's sort of like,
Trying to help him get out of the mental, I'm going to get you an apartment, I'm going to do this, you can stay with us, it's really good. And then she's like, and then we've got to do the thing that we promised to do. And then the camera pivots, just moves around her, and all of a sudden she's now on the side that's the crazy side and he's on the rational side. Yeah. It's good shit.
That's really, really good.
Especially because until then, what we've just seen of her character is like, oh, she's got a partner that she loves. She's got a job she's really good at. We see her obviously at the auction with the mirror, but we don't know the background for that yet. But she seems so centered and in control, where he's obviously coming out of a mental institution. He is like centered in control because he's getting released for good reasons. But the doctor even has this line when he's leaving being like, hey, don't forget your sister hasn't had the resources you've had.
Yes. She'd do it on her own.
She'd do it on her own. And then you're like, oh, yeah, she did. And she's been carrying that weight for the last decade.
It's a heavy mirror to carry.
She's done it in a bad way.
Yeah, but again, exactly.
In a way that makes her a fool.
No, but this is why I'm prepared to forgive her, is that she hasn't had any tools or assistance.
You can forgive her and still admit that she's a fucking idiot.
No, I couldn't be that rude to her.
Oh, I can be. Dumbest person alive.
Oh, yeah, disagree.
She basically puts her head in the mouth of the lion.
Yes,
I would say.
And but it's so frustrating to watch, to be honest.
Yeah,
and this movie has a lot of things going for it. The spooks are really great. The design of some of the things we see are fucked up and spooky. And Flan likes to fuck up hands, but he's an eye man as well.
He doesn't mind the eyeball action.
Also, big fan of What If I Ruined Three Mouths.
Yeah.
A lot of fucked up teeth in this. Yes. A lot of fucked up
teeth. Mouth man.
He's ruining mouths. He's ruining the parts. I think one thing I find is that he ruins the parts of you that are the softest. The bits that you're like hands get fucked up a lot, eyes get fucked up a lot, mouths, tongues, like just the idea of like, they're my soft bits. They're the bits that I've only, they're hard to, like if you fuck your knee up, you can get a knee replacement. Yeah. You can't get a tongue replacement.
But also with mirrors. All right, if you want to have a crack at mirrors, that's fine. They're fair game in horror movies. You've seen Kiefer Sutherland battle them before.
No, he didn't battle a mirror. He battled a mirror.
Yeah, he battled the mirrors. And but leave apples alone, please. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a joy. Oh, that's a joyful fruit.
Yes. We love an
that
apple.
That is a fucked scene.
That is. It's
That's a mess, yeah.
That scene's fucked. But also, the thing that it does that's really unsettling and scary is that once it starts kicking, the way it just destabilizes you completely, where you're like, I don't know if I'm watching a flashback, if I'm watching what's actually happening, if I'm watching a memory, if I'm watching an illusion. Yeah. Like
the cross-cutting back and forth with the younger versions of the kids is really good stuff.
Especially when they start to blend together.
Yeah, it's brilliant filmmaking. Like, again, it's filmmaking that was already impressive in the first sort of act and a half where, yeah, the cross-cutting was done in these really clever ways where obviously they're sharing a space, they're separated by time, and we sort of get these nice cross-cuts that sort of match up really well. But then when it starts to like happen more rapidly in this in succession where we're not 100% sure where we are in the timeline and obviously they can't trust their own minds anymore, like to use that filmic technique to give the audience the feeling of what they're feeling, like that's so good. That's so fucking impressive.
Also, I love too, I'm just thinking about this mirror and the bleak. We should talk about the ending, which is a real kick in the fucking heart.
Yeah.
Just a dog of an ending. But I love the fact that the mirror, while we see ghosts, creatures from it, it doesn't actually have a, its physical thing is just, it's a mirror.
Yes.
We don't ever see like a prime, like a witch that comes out of it that is in control of everything. It's this thing that all is just taking lives and just adding to the people. And it's fucked up.
And it's, well, and its way of attack is to get into other people's minds and get them to do its dirty work for them.
Yep.
Like it doesn't have appendages of its
own. It's like the power of suggestion and it's not really doing anything.
Yeah.
If you put yourself in proximity of it and are foolish enough to do that, then this is what happens.
It feeds off like life force, I guess. Like makes animals vanish completely.
It feeds off stupidity.
Well, it plays with the visual thing of like what you see in the mirror isn't necessarily what's happening out here, and then it changes it again so that it's reflected in a different way. It just, it's a really clever creature.
Yes.
As you said, it's not anything.
No. And I like, again, we've talked so many times about rules, and it's like, obviously with Karen Gillian's character.
Kaylee.
And her setting up her experiments and having like these different proximities with the houseplants and all this sort of stuff. Like she's figuring out the rules. She's being scientific about it. And I really love that.
That was cool.
That was really cool. But it blends like this kind of really nice pairing of rules, but also mystique, because no one, like, even though she knows the history of this thing back to a fair old age, she has to say, no idea where it originated from.
Mm.
And I think that's really a nice little touch to be like, we're going to give you a lot of rules. We're going to give you understand a lot of how this thing works. We still have no fucking idea what it is or where it came
from. Yes. And I also thought, for how unhinged Kaylee is and how unhinged she looks in the eyes of her brother.
Yeah.
I reckon they went pretty early with the thing of like, yep, see, the plants are dying.
Yes.
We're on here. Because without that, to him, it could just be like, my sister's fucking crazy.
She's lost it. Yeah.
Like, and you could spend, I think, a lot more time in that part and then maybe reveal that it's the thing. But they just, it's a tight, I don't think it was a 90, but it was a tight film.
It felt tight. Like, and he just gunned for it.
Yeah.
Well, he gets out of the hospital. She's like, this is what we're going to do. They have a night apart.
Mm.
He then rings and is like, hey, I feel bad. And she's like, come and help me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And even then, like, again, because we get the cross cutting between times, we're actually like, we're straight into story. And then it's that slow release of exposition and background, which I think is, I am always such a big fan of, because I'm like, yeah, get us into the story, make us hungry for that exposition, and then feed it to us.
Definitely.
And we yum, yum, yum. We'll eat it down, you know?
They even drip feed too early that Kaylee's got this like unstable edge to her. Like, even that conversation with the brother, but then later when her fiance's like, hey, we're going to get you your own printer because you keep printing off fucking corpses.
Yeah.
But you can pick up on it probably 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Where suddenly, I think we all were kind of like, oh, she's actually way too horny for what's going on here.
I
thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought she was going to be terrified of and wanted, like, she does want to destroy it, but in order to destroy it, she needs to figure it out and prove that the whole thing of proving it, it's like, well, that's it. That's there's no way out of this for you.
And that's the thing. Obviously, she wants to clear her dad's name is obviously a big part of it. But yeah, like the way she keeps saying to the mirror every time something new happens, she's like, ah-ha-ha, well played.
Ah, clever.
And she's like too, like, a bit of repertoire between me and the mirror.
In her mind, it's like, oh, we're equals. We're equals. It's like, you are not equals, mate.
You are
out of your depth.
She's blinded by her obsession.
Yeah.
So not only is she blinded by the mirror's ability to not make you see what it wants you to see, she's blinded by her own obsession with the mirror, so she sees what she wants to see as well. So she's basically fucked from the outset.
Big time.
Because she's so because she didn't have the resources or the help or the support to get through it the way he did.
Right.
She's been just focusing on this for 10 years or however long it is. Like, it's just torn her to pieces. Mm. The mirror got her when she was a kid and never let her go.
Well, that's it. And then as soon as she gives the mirror some more power, which we'll get into, then, like, the mirror can use all that obsession against her. And so, like, great, she can make her think, yeah, it's an even playing field. You and me, we're having a bit of a sparring thing. Even though, no, that was never, ever the case.
I just imagine that mirror seeing her again as an adult and be like, yeah. You silly fuck.
Got you, idiot. Yeah.
You should have never come back.
Even just that great sequence early before they get to the house and she's in the warehouse and it creates the third person.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, oh, no. And it's like, yeah. Man, that scene. It's onto you.
Yes.
Like, it's very much ahead of you. And she has moments where she has these little wins and you feel like she's doing enough. But that's that bit, the bit where, you know, I knew she was definitely fucked was when she, is that sequence where she wakes up after being asleep and she's standing in front of the mirror where the weight is.
Yeah.
And the time is about to go off.
And again, then she goes, oh, well played. And you're like, mate, you were so close to death.
Yeah. I think it's the moment where they realize that the cameras have moved.
Yeah.
And it's like, now your kill switch is irrelevant because without remembering it, you've just gone and changed the timer or you've turned it off or you've done whatever. Like, it's just not going to work properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into our questions. So I feel like we're circling it anyway.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So, firstly, were we scared?
Shit scared. Yeah. It was holy terrifying. Hell. Yeah. From the outset. Every little glimpse you got of Kate Siegel playing that version of her ghost or whatever, I guess, fucking horrifying.
And we get one so early.
Yeah.
I was not, like, we get that opening scene is so intense because we've obviously got a gunman in the house. We don't know what the deal is. We've got these two kids, one's half covered in blood. And then very quickly we see the ghost.
Yeah. They turn around, there's those silver eyes staring at them. The reveal later that they're mirrors.
Tiny mirrors, yeah.
Horrific.
Really good.
That scene that we were talking about, though, with the three figures.
Yeah.
That scene is awful.
Oh, mate.
And then you don't get it.
Yeah.
This is the thing. This is really scary and terrifying, but I turned to you boys at one stage and I nearly jinxed us. Mm. It feels like there should be more jump scares than there is. He just doesn't give them to you. Mm. Just is like, nah.
There's a long period with no release.
It's strangely not a jump scare movie, even though it is rife for it.
Yeah.
It's like not only with his camera moves of like moving away, coming back into a scene and expecting something, but mirrors. Like mirrors are obviously like, oh, we're going to look in the mirror. What are we going to see in the mirror? Like that's how they're mostly used in horror. And to his credit, he does not lean on that at all. He's like, no. Even, like, it almost feels like he knows that expectation and is, instead of playing to it, playing against it and in that way making it more scary.
That's the flying man with the plan.
Yeah, he's the man with the plan.
Yeah,
the man with the plan, chapter 3.
So, yeah, very scary. On the high end of scares, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all three of us were having a tough time. Yeah. Got a few, why are we doing this? Yeah, what are we doing?
There was a fair bit of IMDb looking up.
Yeah. Oh, I did leave so it one time to go sit with your doc. Just for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, you can't. Sean, we need to discuss that. Is that allowed? Leaving the room?
What did he do?
He just left the room.
Oh, that's because the dog probably got scared and left the room and jumped in Damo's bed.
Yeah, I wanted to check if
Damo's doing a welfare check and I respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to, one, check if he's in my bed, two, see if he's all right.
Also, goddamn coward, son of a bitch.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting to hear.
The only time I would appreciate you getting up is to throw a log on the fire.
Which I also did. Because I'm like, oh, well, I think the fire's going down. I better go check it out.
Better go stare into the fire for 20 minutes.
I had to keep track of a football game that was happening.
You're off the chain, mate.
Double check some scores.
Sorry. Yeah. Your crime, Damo, is nothing compared to that.
He left the room.
You make me sick, Tom.
He left the room.
You mentally left the mental space.
Don't you jump on
your
this.
Your phone is there, and it's a weapon that's only allowed to type in one thing, and that's imdb.com.
Sean, he's trying to turn us against it.
No, well, it's working. He's a mirror.
He's
a mirror.
Oculusing us.
Yeah.
You're like a gunslinger who's in a standoff.
Yes.
You've unholstered your weapon. You've pulled it out. And then you're looking up footy stats. Yeah. What, and the other guy's shooting you in the face.
That doesn't make any... That analogy makes no sense, Tomo.
I don't understand. I like the gun holster bit.
Maybe the rules. Look, it probably lost a little bit of the back end, but...
You're like a gunman. Oh, hang on. I got my gun out.
You're in a standoff and you got to wait till the clock strikes 12 and you didn't. You got the phone out early to look at footy scores.
You got distracted.
So you're saying I shot on two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still
which itself a little bit better, but doesn't quite work still.
Sean, I'm
basically
alive.
You're just a dog.
I'm not a
good dog.
You're about to say
you're not one of these little ones that is in my arms right now.
No, I'm a pretty good dog.
You're not a canine carny.
No.
He's a oh, damn, I almost had something. No, I've lost it. Yeah. No, never mind.
I'm Tom.
He's a Tom.
I'm just Tom.
He's just Tom.
Dogs are too good. You're a rat.
Yeah.
You're a rat fuck raid.
Shit. Oh, this started as a go against me and then somehow turned
on deep.
Because I'm looking across into the bathroom, there's a mirror in there.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. We should close that door.
Should we smash all the mirrors?
I think yes.
Yeah, we should. We won't be able to, though.
Keith was right. We need to paint over them.
Mm. Well, that's it. You need to do something, but it doesn't let you. I think it's that thing of like,
I should just point out the constant references to Kiefer Sutherland and mirrors because he starred in a movie called Mirrors.
That we watched.
We did an episode on it. I can't remember what number it is, but go back and give it a listen.
With Jackson Bailey.
It's a fun app.
Yeah, it's a terrible fucking movie.
Terrible movie. God, awful.
But yeah, the scares in this, it's crazy to say that it's like really scary, but you're right, Damo. The jump scares, they're not... He doesn't throw them in your face a lot. Some of them just don't happen at all. Some of them are just like the slow reveal of awful. Even the bit where she eats the globe or the sequence where...
That's probably the worst bit, I think.
Yeah, let's talk about that scene for a minute.
Oh, nah, there's worse.
You reckon?
Mum eating the plate is way worse than her eating.
No, I think it's the apple because an apple feels safe. She bites into it and you hear the crunch and immediately like, oh, fuck. And her acting's great.
Yeah.
And she pulls out an enormous chunk of glass. She's starting to bleed. Yeah. It's horrendous.
The whole scene plays so well because we know she puts the apple down next to the globe. We're like, okay, that's foretelling. I see where this is going. She picks up what looks like the apple and we're like, fuck it, that's not going to be an apple. And so you have that fear, and then sure enough, crunch, she takes a bite. And then they really hold on her pulling that massive piece of glass.
Yeah. The sound design is horrible.
And then it flips back to, actually, it was an apple the whole time. Yeah. And then you're like, holy shit, you guys are drowning and you don't even realize.
Yeah, that's the point we started to get pretty pissed off. It's like, abort.
Yeah.
Even though by now it's probably too late because you are, as I said at the start, an idiot.
I tell you what it really actually feels like now that I've thought about it. It's big Red Room Hill House territory.
Yeah.
You never left the Red Room.
Yeah.
Like, do they ever actually leave that fucking house?
I don't
house?
Think they do. No.
Do they even leave that room? Do they leave the in front of the mirror? Like,
well, you don't know.
You don't know,
you
right?
don't know at any point. There's a couple of bits where you know they've left, and it's when I think she's measuring out how far its influence has gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes around and turns on all the lights. But there's so many other things where you're like, when they're outside, and they're like, oh, it wants us to come back in.
Well, they can see themselves inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's fucking good, man.
At which point are they in and out, and were they just standing in front of the mirror the whole time?
Yeah.
Well, they did go. He went outside to call the police, which he actually did do.
That's a good call. Yeah.
One of earlier.
But I mean, he could have called the cops from inside.
From the mirror. Yeah. Let's get to our next question. Mm. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
All right, boys, take it away.
No, you go on. What's your defense?
No,
foolish. Absolutely foolish. Fucking stupidity.
I love it. You go. What's your defense? And immediately don't let a word in.
No, you have the floor.
No, I don't.
Good, because she's a fucking idiot. Yeah. There's nothing you can say that can change my mind. Biggest idiot we've dealt with in the show.
Oh, we've dealt with bigger idiots.
Big moron.
We've dealt with bigger morons.
No, because she has the intelligence. There's been people who have been morons who are just straight up morons. She has the intelligence to do better than this, and she didn't.
But that's the issue.
She sets up a plan, and it's a fundamentally flawed plan. It's stupid the whole way through. She has moments where she could have got out of it, but she is blinded by stupidity and arrogance, and she's a really frustrating person to watch.
It's really hard because, at the start, it feels like she is the man with a plan. Like, when she's talking to Cameron, she's detailing all, like, her understanding of this mirror, how it works, what her plans are. She's got the timers. She's got, we're going to eat at this time. We're going to drink water at this time because, obviously, it sucks the literal energy out of you. And so, you're like, okay. But there's also this, like, intensity about her that is very worrying.
Yeah.
She is too mechanical in this point, and you can see it's actually just a veneer of like, no, I have to have control, otherwise I've lost everything. And you're like, you've already lost everything. And so that like illusion and control always go so well hand in hand with each other, because control is only control up until it's proven not to be.
Yeah.
And so, like, for her, it was only ever an illusion. She never had any control of the situation.
Yeah, all the things she sets up, you know, she's got the cameras here, we've got to change, here's the timer because we've got to change the tapes in the camera, we've got to do this, we've got to change the timer on the kill switch, all of this. She needs to understand pretty early none of that matters because this thing can just make her do things and she won't remember. And it's no more clear than early on when the cameras have completely moved.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they watch the tape back and go, oh, we did that. I don't have any memory of that.
Yeah,
it should be immediately,
I've got to
get my brother out of here. I've got to get myself out of here. But no, she's arrogant. She's like, she thinks she's playing chess game against someone who is her equal. And it's like, no, you've done the research. You've seen all the lives that this has taken.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at a certain point, you've just got to be like, fucking hell, let's just cover this mirror up and bury it in the fucking ocean and just try and move on with their lives.
Well, that's it. Especially, I think for me, the part where I, like, once we, almost after the fact, you realize, oh, that was such a dumb thing to do, is when she feeds it the energy of the dog.
Yeah.
Because you're like, it had some power, but you have now juiced it right up.
Yep.
And
it was dormant. You've awakened it.
And then as soon as she's done that, that's when it can control them and make them move the cameras. And so you're like, you actually had it in a weakened state. And you elevated it. Like, what
should have destroyed
it
if you can and if
you can't.
At
that point.
Yeah, put it away.
And like, I get to your point, Tom. She wants to juice it up because of her obsession, because she wants to clear Dad's name and she's so blinded by that. So like, I can understand that. But the fact that she's doing so in a way that puts her and her brother at such a high, high chance of risk. It feels like she's making a bet where the odds are so far against her that no one in their right mind would ever take that bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Look,
she's not in her right mind.
No, and that's my defense is I don't think it's her fault that she behaves the way she does. So that's what I mean. Like, she gets a pass from me and I can't be angry at her because I understand why she makes the choices that she makes. Mm. She goes in and she's got a great plan because she's obsessed over it. She thinks she's got it on her terms, but she never does.
Yeah.
Because she's obsessed, because she's had to do this by herself.
Yeah.
Her brother's gone and had help. And he makes some great logical choices until he makes the terrible choice at the end to just rush, which is exactly what the mirror wants him to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Back him into a corner and then drop a weighted yacht anchor into his sister's head.
Oh, fuck. But again, like, I feel like that was inevitable.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that's what, like, the fact that we were seeing through the room through his eyes and it looked like she was not there. And even we sort of said, oh, where is she? Like, where is she?
Because in the her memory thing, she's a little kid standing in front of the mirror hugging her mum.
Yeah.
It's like, well, where the fuck is she then?
Yeah. And then, of course, I think, Tom, you might have said, no, she's in front of the mirror. Mm. And then
I think it was you, big dog.
I was a Sean.
As soon as her mum put her arms out to hug her, I'm like, this is it. This is the end game.
And
she's
then
gone.
Flicks that switch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it also felt inevitable. Like, again, like you said, the earlier scene where she herself is in front of the mirror, she wakes up just before and goes, aha, well played, and redoes the switch. Where you're like, even then, the mirror lets you wake up at that point. It is toying with you. It is playing with you. What would have stopped it from just holding you for a few minutes longer and letting you die at this point? No, it wants to play.
She's a fuckwit.
Yeah. I got to agree. I'm like foolish.
She doesn't get a pass from me, Tom.
No.
Well, she dies.
Where do you fall? If you had to go binary on this and say wise or foolish, where do you land?
I mean, she's inevitably, because she dies, she's a fool.
Great.
But I think I'm sympathetic
you
to her foolishness.
Because she
makes
dies,
sense.
She's a fool.
Yes.
She's a fool for so many reasons before that.
No, but I think if I have to land on one side or another,
yeah.
She's a fool, but I'm sympathetic to her being a fool.
Yeah, that's why I said binary.
Yeah.
Because so you didn't have, so you couldn't play in those shades of grey, mate.
There are sometimes fools that are like, oh, you're an idiot and you deserve to die.
Right.
I don't think she deserves what she gets.
I think she kind of does.
I do too, especially bringing her brother into it. Yeah. I actually think that is the root. Like, he's just got out of this hospital.
Yeah, she has no...
And she's like, hey,
she has no empathy
trauma
or care for what he's gone through.
Right. And now he's
got
back
out
in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and she's immediately pulled him into this and is kind of like, she treats him like shit.
Yeah, she's... See, there's
I feel
no
horrible for him.
Oh, I feel terrible for him.
Yeah.
He tries his best too.
The movie is tragic because of him, not because of her. I think she's a fucking idiot. And
I agree.
I won't weep for her. Sorry.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. All right, boys. How would we do in this situation?
Well, we're fucked.
Holy shit. I don't think we are.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, it depends how far into it you get.
Well, I think you have to wake the mirror up. And then once
you think that's kicking
up,
the stones.
Yeah. Because you can't just get the mirror and then smash it with a hammer. Yeah. I think kicking the stones is feeding it the dog.
I mean, again, your idea of dropping in the ocean or painting over it or whatever, like, to me, that just feels like, I guess we got to be her in this situation. That's very frustrating because, again, I do think she's an
idiot. I think to a degree, I think painting over it's a really interesting thing, but I don't know if that actually does anything.
I don't even know if that'll work. I think that's a too slow a process that you'll think you're painting over it, but you're not.
Yeah. Like, you pan out and you're painting next to
it. Yeah, this does change. If we have to feed it the dog and charge it up a bit.
you probably can't beat it.
No,
it's hooks. Once it's awake, its hooks are in and you're fucked. You think you're doing everything, but you're only doing what it wants you to do.
You might never leave that room.
This is a process that has to be stopped in the at the auction phase.
Yeah.
Don't ever take the sheet off it. Put weights around it and drop it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Put it in a fucking
compactor and just in metal, whatever you... Don't let any other person near it, I guess, would also be the thing.
Yeah.
And then, smelt some metal and drop this fucking thing in. I don't know. I think you're right. As soon as you waken it up, it is you're done.
By the rules of the show, we have to kick the stones. We have to wake it up. So then I think we lose.
We're done.
But if we're allowed to not be Karen and be rational, Damo and I, no, we win. We stop it before it starts.
Or at the very least, we run the fuck away.
Yeah. Can if you get far enough away, does that...
I think so. Yeah. I don't think it's once it's in your head, it's in your head forever. I do think it is. It seems to be a proximity thing. So I would say if you manage to get out of its grasp long enough that you can run for the hills, I think you're right.
And then Sean, you know what you do? You set the house on fire.
I'd love to do that. But another thing does occur to me that this is very much fools hanging a haunted thing up on a wall.
Yeah.
Which we have just done with the crime.
Okay,
boy.
I see where you're going.
Yes. So we're all dead.
Yep, we're done.
Yep. We kicked the stones a lot. Yep. Foolishly.
Sean, you and I have bought this mirror for our good friend Tom.
Yep.
As a housewarming present.
Mainly for his partner, because she will love it. The real gift is for her. Yep. Tom hates it, begrudgingly hangs it up, courageously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Full respect there.
And we all die.
Hangs it up in the toilet.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Hangs up in the toilet.
You think you're pissing in the toilet. You're not. You're pissing on a homeless man. Yeah.
You're pissing straight into that mirror. That mirror loves to be pissed on.
Yeah, you're getting filmed by someone. You get cancelled. This podcast is over. You are in Twitter jail.
He wakes up to piss at night and then blinks, and then he's pissing on a police station, and then he gets shot.
Gets done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the crime boy works. That's how the mirror works.
That's how the mirror goes.
They're from the same family.
Yeah.
They both got a frame.
Yeah. They're frame pals.
Anything with a frame. I'm liking this thing that's hanging on the wall behind you because it's just the canvas.
Canvas with no frame.
No frame. No frame.
Hey, no frame on that one either. Hey. Any frames in there? There's too many frames over there.
Oh, no. Fuck. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. We're done. We're done. Game over.
I think we are dead.
Yeah.
We're just as foolish as Karen.
Yeah. Fuck. Turns out we are. Damn it.
Hey, Sean, you're a big fucking idiot.
Yeah, I am. Yep. But. Did it for friendship. Karen did it for herself.
Yeah, we did it for Amanda.
Nah, for a family.
To clear her dad's name. Sorry, mate. Dad's
her dad was a piece of shit, though.
Yeah, we didn't love dad.
I didn't like the dad.
He was such a shit dad.
Yeah, he just sucked. Like, if they gave me a good version, if it's kind of like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, he's never really like the nice dad.
Yeah,
he's just already an asshole.
He's a bit of a prick already.
And so when he descends into madness, you're like, all right, you're an asshole, and now you're a mega asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
So the same thing with the dad. Like, they didn't give me a reason to... like him or to
probably
see
with
what
both the parents
to see the mum a little
Katie
bit more.
Katie Sackhoff, you care about
a
little bit more.
She unraveled because of what was primarily happening from the dad.
We did see dad go down on mum, and we were like, okay,
that's true. I did forget about
Did tell her scar made her look beautiful.
Yeah, I think he was a good husband. I don't know if he was a good
dad. Husband. I think he's like, I like that I'm married to this hot woman, but fuck, I'm annoyed. I've got a ginger kid and that other little butterfaced one.
Oh, that boy's such a butterface.
Turned into a hot boy, though.
He turned into Brenton Thwaites. Who is a handsome man?
Is that the
man?
Actor, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, and Two Tree was in this.
Oh, Two Tree Hill.
Two Tree Hill. Nick Lafferty.
Nick Lafferty. I then showed you, Sean, maybe the greatest ever clip from One Tree Hill ever.
I hadn't seen it. Yeah.
If you're a fan of One Tree Hill, if you're a fan of dogs, if you're a fan of open heart surgery, you should watch the clip where I'm not going to spoil it for you if you're not seeing it, a dog and a heart transplant. Just Google One Tree Hill heart transplant clip.
I might throw it in the show notes for everybody.
It is such a crazy moment in a TV show. That is real.
Yeah.
That show was a real show, and that episode... There are so many, psycho episodes of shows like OC, One Tree Hill, like that era of show.
Yeah.
But you're just like, this is ridiculous. Riverdale does the same shit. There's stuff in Riverdale that you're like,
Riverdale
what the fuck?
Does it knowingly, though. I feel like...
Yeah, it does.
For these other ones, it felt like they'd been around for so long, and they're like, what's next?
Yeah, I think, Two Tree Hill went for fucking 8 seasons or 9 seasons.
I love we're calling it Two Tree Hill. Well, because he's the second tree.
Yeah, he's the second billing in Two Tree.
He is the first tree.
I've got to ask a question.
Because Lucas, his half-brother, is probably the second tree.
But he's the lead, isn't he?
Lucas is the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Lucas
That's
is the
That's why I
one
called
tree.
Him Two Tree, because I'm like, he's second just, lead.
You know what?
He's the original tree.
I meant in the hierarchy of their biological father.
Right.
Yeah. He is definitely top dog.
Okay. Yeah,
Lucas is a piece of shit.
Scum. Yeah.
Yeah, Nick good at basketball.
Both good at basketball.
Yeah, but isn't Nick the better bowler?
No, they're both really good, except Nick has had all the opportunity and the privilege, whereas Lucas has not. It's a struggle for him to get on the team, and now his dad's kind of like, oh, there's my illegitimate son. Damn, he's good at basketball.
Okay,
maybe I should have played a bit more of a role in his life. Yeah, that's fucked. America, though. That's basketball.
Oh, boy. Hey,
what a great sport.
It is a great sport that brings out the worst in some people and the best in us.
Unlike this mirror, which brings out the worst in
us. It's the worst in everybody. Yeah. And on that note, that's all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners like this show, would like to help us out, you can head over to patreon.com/scaredyboys, become one of our beloved patron. You can either become a brave babe if you're brave or a cowardly custard if you're a coward. But either way, you get all the good shit we have going on over there. Otherwise, you can also leave us a review wherever you listen. That helps us out a bunch. Or if you just want to say hi and send us an email, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram at @scaredyboyspodcast or on Twitter at @scaredyboys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
Well, I am a dog. Dogs are loyal.
Saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money.